I am so excited to be back as your host, Cassidy Arbelli of the Unburden Your Business podcast, where we talk about business, life, and everything in between with amazing weekly topics that are really going to help you get on your business game and give you the life that you really want. So, knowing that your time is super precious, let's dive into today's episode. I'm so excited to be back. Welcome to season two. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Unburden Your Business podcast. I am really excited for our guest today, Kristen Wanch. She is someone who helps women with wealth creation and making sure they're having a soul-aligned financial freedom journey. And it's obviously, if you've been around for a while, you know that I talk about money all the time and how much I want to also be part of that movement for helping women embrace the idea of talking about money, learning about money, making money, being smart about your money and managing your money, or just even having the knowledge you need, whether you're earning the money or you're not, or what's going on in your family life or your personal dynamic of the way money is perceived and how it's used. And so I'm really excited to hear another person's perspective, and she's a wealth of knowledge. Get it? Wealth. Okay, a really bad joke. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so we were just chatting a little bit before, but one of the questions that I kind of want to start off with to give you the chance to speak on, because I think this is a really important idea, and I talk a lot about how your money mindset and your perception of money, whether you feel good, bad, grossed out, taboo, whatever, right? All the cliche things really comes from the way you were taught to perceive money and kind of your first initial experiences with it. And so I'd love to find out from you, what was the thing that got you really interested in learning more about this and being able to get a grip on your own perspective and how that's helped you, and then coming on and really being someone who is a go-to person to help women with wealth creation?
Yeah. So my journey has been really varied. And I love that you've touched on the fact that, you know, our views around money, our money mindset, all of that, you know, it really comes from childhood. Like it dates so far back that that's when we really form beliefs about money. And it's interesting because I have an MBA in finance. I came from corporate trading. Like I know numbers, and I graduated $100,000 in debt from my student loans, and I was making great money trading, and I was still never out of the paycheck to paycheck cycle. Like I was just spending as much money as I was making. I was not really making a dent in the debt. It was crazy. So it's like, I knew all the things I should be doing, but I wasn't actually doing them. And so, you know, for me, my journey around that really, really went deep when I started uncovering my beliefs around money. You know, I started working with a coach, and it wasn't specifically for money mindset, but it was, you know, mindset and performance coaching in general, and really going deep on what were the underlying beliefs that were leading to all of my decisions. And, you know, I grew up in a house that there wasn't a lot of money, right? And so there's a lot of scarcity, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. I heard a lot of, you know, just a huge amount of scarcity. My parents are amazing humans. And there was the reality of there wasn't a lot, right? And so, you know, I grew up believing that there's not enough and there's not a lot there. And so, you know, that followed me throughout my life until I really started to go deep on my own limiting beliefs and really started changing that. And so for me, I was, you know, doing a lot of business coaching with women and just hearing so many women come to me and say, you know, I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with money. It's just not my thing. And I'm sitting here in front of these clients, you know, smart women, looking at them being like, you're amazing. Like you're amazing in so many ways. And for some reason, when it comes to money and your wealth, you have these limitations that are holding you back. Right. And we all do, right? Like it's not that I've gotten to this place where I'm free of limiting beliefs. It's, you know, just really going deep on, you know, some of it's societal programming, some of it's just our own mindset about it, but it's so powerful when you start to unpack and really dissolve those beliefs and really create new possibilities for your life. It's like a world, like anything is possible. Like the whole world opens up to you. Right. And so that's something that I've just, you know, through my own experiences, have really done a lot of deep work on and really shifted things. And it's what I love to do with clients now, because it's like your whole life changes when you change your beliefs about money, because money is such a deep topic for people, right? Like it's a safety thing in a lot of ways, right? Our sense of safety, our foundation is threatened if we feel like we don't have enough. And so it's just a powerful space to really go deep on.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the dynamic that you've either had with clients yourself or any experiences that you've had or growing up or whatever, in regards to how do you coach, or what instances have you seen about women with money when it comes to their relationships, in like romantic relationships or their partners or things like that? And really, like, because that's been a struggle of mine in my marriage from day one. We see things very differently. My husband's the spender, and it has definitely trickled on me, where I enjoy more luxurious things and have been able to feel comfortable spending, but then I'm also the one that kind of reins it in and tried not to be in a lacking mindset reining it in, but really saying, well, what's our goal and like, what do we want to achieve and how do we get there? And do we need to make some different decisions, right? And so we've worked really hard in the last 11 years. We're still not perfect, or where I want to be at least. He's kind of just like, you know, kind of going with the flow type of person. And I'm more of the numbers person. But like, how does that dynamic work when you're working with someone, or women in general, in your experience, when it comes to now trying to combine two perspectives and trying to figure out how that works?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, the short answer is that everybody is, and every relationship is totally different. And you have to really find something that works for you. As far as, you know, how you structure finances, whether you have finances together or separate, you know, whether you're married or not, there's a lot of variables that go into that. But I think the biggest, you know, one of the biggest things, I mean, two really big things. First of all, amazing communication, you know, very early on tabling these conversations. It's like, you don't want to get 5 years into a relationship and realize you completely have different views on what you want out of life. You know, with regard to money, that can also be true of kids, you know, it can be true of everything, right? So just having really open communication, not in a serious way, but just in a, you know, what do you want out of life? Like, how do you, you know, just tabling things about, you know, your values and how you see the world. And that's, you know, a beautiful dialogue to, you know, open up about. I think we as women, but, you know, in society in general, we don't talk about money enough, right? It's this like taboo thing. And it's like, it actually gets to be super fun. Like you get to chat with your new partner, or, you know, a partner you've been with for a long time about like, what are we dreaming about? Like, what are we really playing for? We get to use this, the numbers and the money to like create our dream life, which is super freaking exciting. So communication is a big one, you know, just getting on the same page. But I think for women, just in general, really taking control of your own finances and ownership around it. And so, you know, you can have shared finances and all of that, but to understand the numbers yourself is so important. I can't tell you how many clients I have that I worked with that, you know, have just gone through a divorce or are, you know, on a rocky relationship. And like, they just, because they don't know how to manage the money without this other person, they're, you know, it just feels so unsafe, right? And so just knowing that whether you're in a relationship or not, that you're not reliant on somebody else to like manage everything for you to be fulfilled and happy, right? Like you can both come together with the knowledge to understand it. And I think that's one of the biggest things for women is like, you know, we're not encouraged in the same way by society to like, you know, understand finances, right? It's like, you know, maybe money is just not my thing. It's like, you know, even if we're not aware of it explicitly, we can have this implicit belief that we don't need to actually understand or engage it. And I think for, you know, the reality is you look at most people teaching finance and it's like gray-haired white men in stuffy suits talking about accounting and budgets. And it's like, it's fucking boring. So it's like money gets to be fun, right? Like you know, one of my favorite practices is having a hot money date, and you can do this with a partner or on your own, but like sitting down once a week with your finances and you like have a glass of wine or a coffee and like, you know, throwing your favorite Spotify playlist and like have a dance party and like really map out and vision out, like, what are you really doing with your money? You know, what do you get to, what are you creating? You know, what dreams are you really playing for? And so it's like, it gets to be super, super fun. I think that's the biggest thing is like these conversations, the relationship you have with money. It's like, it's not you in a spreadsheet. It's like you in the life of your fucking dreams.
Yeah. And I either, oh my God, you said so much. And I was like, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. My mind just went, well, so I probably won't hit on all of them, but first of all, the whole societal thing of like it being, I think for women, an uncomfortable conversation with their partner, especially if you're maybe coming into a traditional type of relationship where, you know, the man or more of the masculine person in the relationship is the one that handles the money and deals with the money and manages the money. And then you come in as maybe the female or the woman, and you almost don't feel comfortable asking questions and wanting to be in the know, especially if you've been in a relationship for a while and you weren't doing that. Like, how do you now transition to that conversation without putting them on the spot or making them feel uncomfortable, like you're questioning them or not trusting them? And for me, it's one of those things that, yeah, I've seen people in my family, my own parents, you know, have issues with the money and the divorce and what that's happened to the mom side and how that's affected her life. And, you know, for me, that was always my motivation to be like, no, I need to know everything that's happening. I want to know where our mortgage is, how much interest we pay on it, where is our savings, how much do we pay in taxes, like just the little things. And yes, some of that stuff is very, very boring, but you can make it more interesting and more fun, because when you know these things, you actually have a better sense of security. Think about how many women go to sleep at night. They have no fucking clue what's going on. And I promise you, that does not feel safe. That it just doesn't. And in the back of your mind, you know that if, God forbid, something happens or anything like that, like, what are you going to do? And as an insurance agent, one of my businesses, right, is an insurance company. Like, we have life insurance. We have seen this firsthand. So many women that lose their spouse and they don't even know where to go, who insures the life insurance so that they can even have a funeral, right? Like, even the smallest things, like, they just don't know these things. Like, and it pisses me off because I'm over here like, you know, rah, rah women, and I'm empowering you. And like, you have to get to a point where you get uncomfortable so that you can become comfortable. And I promise you that as you start doing that with your spouse and your partner, it'll get more comfortable. And in the beginning, it might not be, but you have to keep. So that's something that happened with me, right? Like, in the beginning, it was like, he did manage a lot of the stuff. I was still starting out in entrepreneurship. He was making most of the money. And I had a really hard time allowing myself for 2 years not to bring in income. And he basically supported us. And I would struggle with that internally myself. Nothing he did to ever make me feel uncomfortable. It was my own issue. And as I worked through that, I decided that for me, I want to know what's happening, what things are going on. And luckily, on one hand, it's a good thing. And on one hand, it's a bad thing. My husband was like, take it on, girl. Like, I don't want to deal with it either. And so I kind of took control of managing. But because I felt like it's important for both of us to know, I now initiate all the meetings. I now keep track of the money and send him reports regularly of like, hey, here's what's happening. Here's where things are. I went and got us a trust. I make sure we have life insurance. I make sure everything's filed and he knows what's happening with things, which is great for him. He gets to sit back and not do anything. And so then sometimes I'm like, well, maybe that's how women feel. They're like, I don't want to deal with this. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have the resources or the know-how how to get to the things, right? And if he's not that interested, that's okay. But he still has at least a basic knowledge of what's going on. So if he needed to do something or something were to happen, like, he knows. And I take his input into consideration. He's the kind of guy who wants to live life and not die with briefcases of money. And so I'm like, okay, I need to be able to be open to letting him live life and to spend some money and do the things, but it's a little bit more boxed in a way that as long as it's aligned with the things that are important to us, great. And then he needs to allow me to know that I have a certain amount of savings, that we have other products that are gaining money for retirement or different things that for me, it's a little bit more of a security thing. And then he needs to allow that to happen before maybe some of the spending happens, you know? So there's that dance that we have to do. But if in the beginning, I didn't start having that conversation, letting him know what I was comfortable with, what I wasn't comfortable with, like, how do we meet in the middle? What is important to you? How do you want to live life? You know, if you want to be a spender, then we need to make more money, you know, or maybe live a more simple lifestyle in our day-to-day so that we can have maybe more lavish things in other ways that are important to you, like travel or whatever that looks like. So definitely that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on. But then too, it can absolutely be fun. I mean, now it's like just like a regular conversation we have. We check in with each other, we check in with our money, and it doesn't continue to be this long drawn out thing. So I'm encouraging everyone listening, if you don't know or you don't feel comfortable, do not just sit back and think that it's going to be okay. Like, you need to find out the answers to your questions and continue asking questions. And maybe it's not, you know, let's sit down on the couch and now dump everything in one session. It could even be small things. You just start off with one thing. And as the conversation gets more comfortable, you know, your spouse or whoever is going to provide more information, and it's just going to become this thing that's normal for you. It also reminds me of like when my sister was getting married, because she grew up in the household I did. And so we both kind of had our own money issues and mindset issues in our relationship with money that we had to fix. And I was letting her know her spouse is very different than mine, and she had some fears. And I just remember being like, look, before you get married, like, just sit down and have a conversation about money. And it doesn't have to look like what everyone thinks it has to, quote unquote, like what the book says it needs to be, like where you put all your money together or the man manages the thing or whatever. And I was like, you know, let him know what's important to you and what concerns you, and make sure you guys are on the same page, and make sure that your dreams are similar and your values and how you want to maybe raise children one day around money. And what does that look like? So I know I kind of got on a rant, but.
Yeah. I think what you've touched on there, it's like the most important thing is not just having the conversation, but you know, let's just separate out the strategy. And this is, people get caught up in the strategy. They're like, we need to figure out how to make a budget. We need to figure out, you know, what to do with the numbers. And the reality is you can't actually do any of that effectively if your mindset that's underlying the whole thing is, you know, this is going to cause problems in my relationship, or that we can't figure this out, or that we don't have, you know, my spouse is going to think certain things about me if I bring this up, right? Like, you see all of those beliefs. If those are running the show, you're not clear enough to actually create any kind of, you know, really strong foundational strategy around it. So it's like, you know, really getting clear on what is your mindset around having these conversations. Like, what are you literally telling yourself in your head when you think about having a conversation with your spouse? So maybe it's, you know, he's going to think that I'm, you know, overstepping, or he's going to think that I'm moving too fast. You know, if you're in an early relationship, or he's going to think this about me, or it's going to increase, you know, problems in our relationship, or whatever those things are, like those fears, those dialogues that are, you know, we talk about money mindset sounds like super vague, right? Well, mindset is just those beliefs that are underlying everything else. And so getting super clear on what are those beliefs, and they're just stories that you're telling yourself about even having these conversations or about what that could look like, getting super clear on that and clearing that away before you have the conversation, right? Because those are all just stories that probably aren't true. Right. And so like you can sit down and get on the same page about what to actually do with the numbers, but you want to be clear of all that stuff first. And that's why, you know, the work that I do, you know, the program that I run with women, we don't actually, it's funny. It's a 12-week program that I run. We don't actually look at a spreadsheet until 6 weeks in. Yeah. Like 6 weeks in, that's how important it is to get clear on everything else first. So like we map out, you know, crafting clear dreams is the very first week. We go deep on, you know, rewiring limiting beliefs. We look at accelerating your income. And so there's a whole bunch of foundational things, you know, feeling worthy of wealth. You know, how do you negotiate from a place of, you know, understanding and empathy? Like all of these things, you know, understanding yourself and other people, all these things are so foundational in actually being able to create powerful strategy around the numbers. And so, you know, literally, like I said, kind of half the course doesn't even look at a spreadsheet, because the spreadsheet is kind of the easy part once you get clear on everything else. It's it's wild.
I love how you said that you work with people, women, in feeling worthy of money. Talk to me a little bit about that, because that's some deep shit. Like, right? And I don't think that's even just a woman thing. It's just humans in general. The way we feel about our worth is always a difficult relationship to have, and it's ever evolving. But especially women and their feeling of worth for them to be able to earn an income, maybe out earn their spouse, or maybe to continue to feel like the potential is limitless and that you know, you don't have the cap on whatever, whatever happened to you in the past has nothing to do with your worth of earning an income or whatever that looks like. Right. So like, talk to me about that.
Yeah. So feeling worthy of wealth, it's a really interesting one. It's, and there's so much that, you know, we could unpack. We could spend all day just on this conversation. And I know you've done a lot of your own work around this, right? Like, you know how deep it goes, but, you know, feeling worthy of wealth. First of all, one thing I really like to get clear on is, you know, feeling like separating our worth, the worth of our work from our personal value, right? Like, you as a human are inherently whole, worthy, and lovable of everything exactly as you are, right? So it's not like, you know, feeling worthy of this amount of money. It's completely separate from the work that you do, you know, and the value of your work in the marketplace, right? And so if you have clients that are willing to pay you, you know, 10 grand for a 6-month program, that has nothing to do with what you're actually worth as a human. So separating that, because sometimes we collapse the two. But the other piece is, you know, feeling worthy, or, you know, limiting ourselves from making a lot of money, or, you know, really, really nailing the amount of wealth that we desire to create, can come from a number of different places. And as women, you know, it's not just women that have limiting beliefs, men have them too. But one of the reasons I love working with women are because we have unique limiting beliefs, you know, that are often programmed from society, right? And so it's, you know, clearing those are just so powerful. And so some of them that come up for women are, you know, I'll just name off, and these aren't, this is not a comprehensive list, but just to name off a few, I see a lot of women that feel like, or have this, you know, implicit dialogue underneath the surface that if I make a lot of money, it means somebody else has less. So I see a lot of clients, yeah, limiting themselves, feeling like, and this, again, this comes back to childhood. So, you know, you think about the patterns and the beliefs that you've built. It's like we form a belief probably around the age of 6 or earlier, and then we look for evidence the rest of our life to confirm that belief, right? And I heard this amazing quote from Tony Robbins one time that was like, the crazy part about a belief, or a belief is just a belief is just a thought that you believe to be true. Right. And so the challenge with our beliefs is that we believe them. Like, we're so sure that this thing is true that we forget that it's actually made up in our head. And so, you know, limiting ourselves around the amount of money that we're bringing in, you know, we feel like if we hit 6 figures or if we hit $1 million, it means somebody else is having less. And maybe consciously we're not aware of that, but that could be running beneath the surface. Or another one, you know, for women is that people will like me less if I make a lot of money. That, you know, my business is making $1 million, or if I'm, you know, bringing in $1 million salary, that my friends will like me less, or it'll create distance with my family. You know, this is a big one I've had to rewire for myself, is knowing, or, you know, feeling like my relationships to those around me will change at certain levels of wealth. And also, you know, for women, you know, will it be harder for me to be in a relationship with a man because they'll be intimidated by that level of wealth, right? True, maybe not true, right? But that could, if that's even there anywhere subconsciously, that's limiting you, right? You're going to continue to keep yourself small. And so it's crazy. We think that we think that of course we just want, you know, we have these goals and these dreams, and of course we want them, right? But we actually, in a lot of ways, sometimes keep ourselves small because we're afraid of what success looks like, right? We're afraid of, like, what'll it mean if I'm actually as successful as, you know, my wildest dreams. And so it's, you know, a lot of these, or, you know, the other side of it is like, what if I fail? Like, what if I really give this my all and it doesn't work out? What'll it mean about me? It means, you know, I'm not good enough. You know, the I'm not good enough dialogue, like, that's literally the biggest limit. That's the biggest dialogue that I think everyone, men, women, everyone, you know, it comes down to often is, you know, the fear that I'm not good enough. Yeah. And so just being
what it is at the end of the day, can we just like decide right now that it's so fucking lame and it's such an old story and like it does not need to be like this anymore. So one of the things I want to talk about, because like I just take notes so I can go back, because a lot of things that you're saying are 100% accurate as far as I believe. but one of the things you talked about was separating your worth. And I think that's definitely difficult for everyone, because you just feel like the more money you make, the more you may be worthy of the, because of the achievements. And now you're like justifying how good enough you might be. And if you don't have that, you aren't good enough. And that's really important for you to talk about. And I'm glad that you bring this up with women and people in general, but like separating your worth, it's a lot harder to do than it sounds. And I think that that's something too, that has always been ingrained in men. And so it's trickled into women too, because we feel like we have to be like them, or their, you know, societal things that put pressure on them are now on us as we continue to grow into people who are earning income as a gender and, you know, being breadwinners or different things like that. Like, it's almost like we've also acquired all the pressures that men get, right? Or how it's been for however many years. Now we've got that pressure on top of being homemakers, on top of being mothers, on top of all the other things. And another thing that you were talking about, like women feeling like they are somehow taking away from someone else when they are able to earn or are given the opportunity to make more money. And I think that's something that just comes with like our nurturing gene. And, you know, like we're just nurturers at, you know, the human species level. And so sometimes it is kind of that thing where it's like, we are more givers as the female species than we're takers. We love to take care of other people. We love to give. And I mean, that's what we're meant to do, I guess, right? Like that's like the innate thing. That's the whole, how it's been for so many centuries. And so we're a little bit more nurturing. And so it almost feels like we're taking away when we're earning or things like that. So I definitely understand that, but here's the thing. Let's talk about this for a second, because I know we talked about this a little bit before, but how are women different when they have money? Because before we go into that, I do have that question. I did want to just say too, the whole idea of like men being intimidated by me if I out earn them or I make more money, like, have you ever heard a man say that?
You know what? So I love both of those questions there. I just want to create for you two, you know, two things. Do you really want to be dating a man that's intimidated by your level of wealth? Like, yeah, there are men out there that are not going to like you as much if you're a millionaire. And I would just say to you, if you want to be a millionaire, don't fucking date those men. Like, yeah. Date a man.
I definitely think nowadays it's a little bit different, where the man is able to semi-remove the ego from that. I think they're more worried about whatever everyone else is going to think about it than necessarily how they would feel about it. But I'll tell you today, my husband's like, you can be my sugar mama. I can stay home with the kids. Where 5-6 years ago, he would have been like, fuck no, I have to be the man. I need to bring home the bacon. Well, we're Jewish, so bacon probably isn't good one, but you know, it's like that type of thing of just like, that mindset can also shift in our male counterparts too. And I think that it's happening more and more, thankfully, the more we have these type of conversations, the more women step into that power and embrace it and not be apologizing for it. But definitely to your point, is this person even really for you? And why would you ever want to be with someone who's going to stop you from achieving your dreams? You wouldn't want to do that for someone else. So no.
And, you know, just in general, don't you want to be with a man that supports you to be as big and as bold and as, you know, courageous as you want to be, right? That supports you, not just, you know, with money, but just for you to really step into who you are authentically and what you desire and dream about in life. Like, you want someone that's your biggest fan cheering you on, right? And you deserve that. Every woman deserves to be with a man that is secure enough in himself to be fully supportive of his partner, right? And you're, you know, to your question, not every man is like that, you know, the same way not every woman is like that. And you deserve the
same support too. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what, you were back to your question around women and what women create with wealth. And it's so funny because as you're talking about nurturing and how, you know, and this is obviously a sweeping generalization that women tend to have more nurturing qualities, you know, more empathy, more understanding. What do you think you would do with more wealth? You'd have more money to be more nurturing. You know, you'd have more money to give more, right? It's the studies, like the stats actually show that when women-led businesses become really successful, they have a positive impact in the world, right? There's more philanthropic initiatives. There's more women giving back with more wealth. And that's like literally just the reality of the stats show that when women become really wealthy, amazing things happen in the world. And so this dialogue or this lie around, you know, if I have a lot of wealth, that it means I'm taking away. It's like money just makes you more of who you are. So if you're generous now, if you're nurturing now, if you're caring now, you just have more resources to be able to do more of that when you're really wealthy. And that's beautiful, right? And so I think we forget that money just gives us freedom and choice and opportunity to be more generous and take care of family and, you know, to give, you know, one of the most amazing things, you know, I can't wait to do for my parents is, you know, to take away every single financial burden they've ever, you know, could ever dream of having from here forward, right? You know, to buy them cottages on the beach, like to give them so much, you know, for all the years that they've spent, you know, supporting me. And so women, you know, we tend to kind of do that more naturally, right? And that's, you know, a beautiful piece of building wealth is how we get to positively impact the world through it.
Yeah. I always say money is a magnifier. So the more, you know, you make money, the more the magnifier gets bigger and it's going to definitely magnify who you are as a person. So I think this is an awesome spot to kind of just close up and, you know, we've had great conversations. I think a lot of people probably are listening and they're like, I agree with all this stuff, or wow, I never thought about it that way. And so I'm so happy to have had you. Can you tell everybody where they can find you, a little bit about your program, which we kind of touched on a little bit. So if you're someone who has maybe struggled with some of these things, which is pretty much all of us, and would love to like get some help or figure this out, tell them how they can find you.
Yeah. So the best place to connect with me is usually on Instagram at kristen.wanch. And my program is the only program that I run is a 12-week group program for women called Women's Money Mastery. And it is my favorite thing in life. You know, my favorite place to be. It is a full end-to-end financial transformation. So, you know, everything you need to create financial freedom easily, effortlessly in a soul aligned way. And we, you know, we start off with crafting clear dreams, getting super, super clear on, you know, what, you know, those butterfly dreams, you know, what gives you butterflies? Like what's that vision for your life? That's just like magnetic. And then, you know, how do you getting specific on how do you really, you know, three pillars, like level up your income, accelerate your income, get really intentional about your spending without feeling super restrictive, and creating wealth through investments. And so those are the three things you need to do to become, you know, as wealthy as you desire. And we break everything down really, really simply. The thing that underlies the entire program is, you know, dissolving those limiting beliefs. Like the limiting beliefs come up again and again, as we talk about the strategy, and they are, you know, your mindset is literally 90% of the game. And so, you know, taking women from a place in this program from, you know, I'm not good with numbers, I'm not good with money, I don't feel powerful in that space, to I'm in love with my bank accounts, I'm in love with my money, I feel like I know I have everything I need to create financial freedom, I have the system set up, I have my investment started, and it's actually super fun. You know, like you get to, one of my favorite practices is, you know, having a hot money date where you get to sit down every, you know, every week with your money and like throw in a dance party and, you know, actually jam with it, because it's the tool that you get to use to create your dream life. And so when it comes to the program, it's like amazing soul aligned women that are in this program that are just so, so connected and cheering each other on and, you know, supporting each other. And it's like, one of the reasons that I run this program just for women is because we get really vulnerable, right? Like there are tears on these calls, you know, like stuff comes up that like has nothing to do with the numbers that like we get to work through, and we get to be really honest and open about what's really there for you. And so, yeah, that transformation is just like, it's so magical. It's my favorite thing. And so I run that program only a couple times a year, and I'll have, depending on when this comes out, kind of at the end of September, I'll have another group closing. So if that's of interest for anybody, definitely get in touch and just reach out to me and, you know, let me know your key takeaways from the podcast here and what, you know, what you're excited about or what you're challenged with around money. I would love to hear from anyone that's been listening.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kristen. This has been a good conversation, even brought up some stuff for me. Like I really still need to work on some of these things. I'm an ongoing project, that's for sure. So thank you for even just impacting me through the conversation. And thank you to everyone listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, make sure to share it. More women need to hear this message. And I'm challenging you to share it with just one woman that's important to you in your life today. If you can please subscribe, leave a review, we would really appreciate it. I will catch you guys next week.